Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Appreciate you taking some time to hang out with us. Robbie Raz here with you as always. Logan is back in action. Although, actually, no, I'm back in action.
Yeah, don't be spreading rumors, you jerk.
Yeah. No, I'm back in action. Yeah, it's November.
You've been slammed with the word.
November is it's a big month for Double R Enterprises. I'll tell you that much. And we don't sleep a lot. And
Rob sends bulleted emails, which means he's angry and tired. Yeah, I got one of those today.
When you get a bulleted email, you know that
you're not happy.
I'm at the end of my rope. But I'm thrilled that I'm as busy as I am, but that's why I wasn't here last week, but I made time to be here this week, because I'm really excited to talk to our guest. Kendall Culbertson is here with us. Kendall, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us.
What's up, boys?
You are ready
What's
to go, man.
What's up?
I wish I had that energy
Dude,
right
people
now.
People from Missouri are the best. You're not even going to know what to do, Rob.
No, I'm probably not going to talk much. I'm getting it all out here at the beginning, and then I'm just going to crack open a beer and listen to you guys, No, it's you guys should have heard these two talking. Well, I'm from this town. Does your family know this family? And blah blah blah. Yeah, everybody knows everybody.
God's country, son.
In God's country, edit. But anyway, so Kendall, I mean, when I talk about me being busy, you've got to be a busy man. You've got your store Outlaw that are one of our most active members, Jared Grillet, will tell everybody that it's the best cigar shop in the world.
It's
and
a mecca.
You've got Gunslinger Cigars, which we're going to be talking about. We're going to give some of those away a little bit later. You go around, you do some blending events that you were telling me about, and you've got your band. You've got a ton of stuff going on. So tell me what's an average day like for you?
An average day? Oh, I almost said it. Sorry.
Yeah, you got yourself.
I did. Well, I mean, you ask me the hardest question out of the gate because no day is the same. It just depends on what projects need to be done. I've got a lot of great people that work for me. You know, I've got two stores. Of course, I've got Gunslinger Cigars, which I wholesale to other stores. And then as you were getting ready to say, I play in a band. I play in actually a few bands. So it just depends on what's getting thrown on the plate for that day. Luckily, I've got a lot of great people that handle most all the work that comes at me. So, I might be just sitting around watching a movie or something.
So, you've got all this stuff going on, and you're just hanging out watching Die Hard.
I might just be smoking cigars watching Die Hard. You never know.
Die Hard is the best Christmas movie of all time.
What?
I'm trying to tell my wife it's the best Christmas movie ever. Don't you think? What do you think? Best Christmas movie. We got off topic really quick, but go ahead.
No, but not to be all cliche, but I mean, Christmas Vacation is a classic. Let's not be cliche, but
absolutely.
It is. But I honestly, my favorite Christmas movie is the one I don't have to watch because I hate Christmas.
Oh, man.
Don't get me on the Grinch. Me on the Grinch. We got Hallmark back. Listen, I got to tell you this. This is important and how bad my life has sucked for the last 5 days is that we didn't get Hallmark Channel. We moved to AT&T. Well, now Hallmark is back, and they've started their, 17 billion day countdown to Christmas, and all we freaking watched now are these stupid Christmas movies. I'm so pissed off.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not ready yet. I want to have Thanksgiving dinner first.
At least.
And I know that might make me old-fashioned, and I'm okay with that. There was one store, I can't remember what store it was, but they put up all these signs saying that they weren't going to have any Christmas decorations until after Thanksgiving. I can't remember which store it was, but I respect them for that. Anyway, I don't know. We got off topic, but...
That's why we're here. So anyways, your days changed, Kendall. So tell us, let me get us back on track, because that's what I'm so good at doing.
Please do.
So... We know that you have Outlaw, and it's a huge store. It's a mecca. But tell us about – because, I've read in – I believe it was actually Cigar Press that maybe, I think, where you talked a little bit about, how you got into – and you make more than just Gunslinger for the store. Tell us a little bit about how you got into from the retail side into the the brand owner manufacturing side?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You know, I was in the IT business before I was in the cigar business, and the reason for bringing that up is I'm the type of personality that gets bored very fast. I like to, you know, come up with what it is that I'm going to try to be successful at, make it a success, turn it over to other people, get them mentored and trained, and then go do something else. And essentially, that was the path that I took. After the cigar stores were, you know, kicking ass, I decided that I needed to study tobacco in depth. So it wasn't about making cigars. It wasn't about getting house blends. It was strictly about education. So I spent, you know, a couple years just getting educated, going from factory to factory to factory. I would travel every month, typically to Nicaragua, but I'd go to the DR and Honduras, and I would just study everything that they would teach me. And after a couple years of doing that, it's kind of like, all right, now what are we going to do? Well, let's start blending some house blends. So I did that for a while. Now I've got like 16 house blends. And so that I kind of wore that out. And so it's kind of like, well, now what are you going to do? I would like to just be somebody's blender because that's what I love doing is playing with tobacco. But if I'm going to continue to go to Nicaragua and blend cigars and play with tobacco, then I got to actually do some volume. And so that's when I decided I better come out with my own brand. Otherwise, I've hit the end of the road of playing with tobacco, and I don't want that road to end because I love it.
So with the Gunslinger line, I know you've made your house blends for Outlaw. I mean, you've done stuff at Aganorsa. You've done stuff at AJ. Where is actually the Gunslinger, the Perdition, and then the Drifter made? Is it AJ?
Yeah, both those cigars are made at AJ's factory. But yeah, you're right. I've those 15, 16 blends that I have come out of 8 different factories.
Wow. Isn't that just a logistical nightmare? Why would you put yourself through that?
Well, because every factory has their strengths and their weaknesses and kind of their belief system, their own philosophies. And I just wanted to go deep with everybody and understand everybody's perspective and point of view on cigars. And what you find out is every factory does have a solid strength that another factory, you know, doesn't have. And so it's fun. But you're right. The repeating of the blend is very difficult. You have to constantly manage your blends, manage the tobaccos, the new crops, and all that stuff. And it gets to be, quite a challenge. But okay, that's where the fun comes in. Now you're playing with tobacco.
Now, I've got to ask, and I'm sorry, Rob, I'm cutting you off, but this is you know, it's interesting that you play around with 8 factories. Like, not play around with 8 factories, giggity. But you have cigars from 8 different factories. I'm not going to ask you what their strengths or weaknesses on air because I know you may or may not be able
to
say.
That's the question I want
to
ask, too.
I want to, and I will ask off air, so all the people out there, screw you. You should have your own show so you can ask the good questions. But what I want to ask is there a common thread that runs through all of the factories? Like, the way they ferment, I mean, maybe they tweak it a little bit. They don't turn it over at 120 degrees. Maybe one people do it at 118. But is there common threads that run through all factories that regardless of what factory you go to? I mean, obviously they use molds. You know, they're going to use some sort of table to lay the tobacco out. They might use a Lieberman. But is there common threads in the process that are all the same?
Dude, I got to tell you, no, not really.
Really?
In fact, yeah, it's almost crazy that what one guy tells you must be done, another guy will tell you that's crap, and if they do that, they're wrong. And so you have all, it's like religions. You got all these people fighting over all these things that you're just, it kind of weirds you out to be in the middle and to hear each guy talk about what has to be done this way, otherwise this will happen. And, you know, fermentation after the tobacco's been aged, some guys say that it kills the tobacco, it's dead. Other guys say it's necessary in order to bring it alive. It's like, what? How can you have two great guys completely disagree with each other? But that's pretty much what the industry is.
But the cigars still turn out well from both of those factories.
It's a matter of opinion.
Well, I mean, okay. Well, and I've heard you're a straight shooter too, so I'll try to temper myself because I want to know. But as a general rule, like, these aren't, it's not like a bad factory. It's a good factory. They make some good cigars that people like and buy. So, or not. Or is this some hole in the wall you found in Nicaragua next to the, you know, the Pollo Loco or whatever the hell, like Tip Top down there, that was just rolling cigars?
Hey, man, don't be talking down my Tip Top. That's good stuff.
Dude, Tip Top give you a case of the Deli Belly worse than any, you know, Muslim kebabs in Chennai, India. That place is rough.
Yeah, buddy, that's what you got.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but yeah, there's factories that put out good cigars that I don't necessarily believe in. Maybe some of their practices. What you got to realize is a lot of Cubans believe that really well fermented aged tobacco is what they call clean tobacco.
Right.
Us Americans consider that to be extremely mild, and so a lot of the cigars that we now smoke are not this really great, pure, clean tobacco, because quite frankly, it takes a lot of the pop out of the tobacco. I like my cigars aggressive. So somebody that ferments and ages tobacco an extremely long time, it's not going to appeal to me as much.
Right. Okay. Rob, I don't want to monopolize because I could talk for an hour.
Yeah, you guys, this is entertaining. I'm enjoying the show.
Okay. So anyways, continue.
The magic, as I like to call it, happens during fermentation. That's where each guy puts his signature on the tobacco, on the flavor. I don't care if they grew it or if they're just buying it from somebody else. They bring it in and they ferment it some more. That's really where the magic is, where what you were talking with temperatures. How long do you take it at what temperature and kind of what's your formula? Every guy has a specific flavor profile that they're going for, and so they kind of have their own formula. And to me, that's the real art in the cigar, you know, business is during fermentation, what they decide to do with the tobacco. It causes their flavor to come out, their personality.
What's the weirdest thing you've seen that someone does with fermenting? Do they dance around it on one leg and sing, like, songs to the El Brujito, or is there anything good that is done? Like, the weirdest thing.
Well, the thing that amazed me the most... Okay. I won't name the company, but it's a huge company. They take some of their Ligeros to 160 degrees. When you reach inside the pilon and pull a hand of tobacco out, it is literally smoking, steaming. It's so hot. I didn't believe that anybody took tobacco that hot, but they proved it to me. They showed me, you know, their chart and the thermometer, and it's crazy. It's crazy to go to that temperature, but that's the craziest thing I've seen.
Just for the people listening, like, I mean, I've seen it up to like 120, 125. Like, I mean, it might go a little higher depending on how thick the leaf is, but I mean, 160, that's why I was like, wow, like, it's almost on fire.
That's nuts.
Yeah. I kind of want to see.
Yeah, bust.
So does that produce, I'm curious, now you've piqued my interest, is that, you know, I would assume that something where you're fermenting a little bit lower temperature, you're probably doing it for a little longer. Was the effort to get it up to 160 to try to ferment it faster, or was it kind of like how you Pittsburgh a steak and you're just like searing it on both sides to sear in the flavor?
That's exactly right. It's all about flavor. It creates a very specific, unique flavor because, you know, as you know, the hotter you get the tobacco, the more you break it down, the longer you take. And tobacco goes from peppers to sweets the longer you ferment it. So by taking the temperature so hot, you're essentially getting the tobacco finished without taking it all the way to sweet because you didn't put the time in it. You only put the temperature on it.
Hmm. That's interesting.
So you get a more assertive tobacco that way.
More assertive tobacco. I like that.
Okay. So that's really interesting. What, you know, like when you're in these factories, I mean, obviously you have to say which one's your favorite, but do you feel like, I like to ask this question, and Rob's going to get up and not pay attention, but, you know, a lot of guys, you know, that are growing tobacco, maybe like, and I'll use Skip Martin, for example, they have a factory, but they don't really have room to ferment in that factory. So they do it at where they buy tobacco and they let it set there and age. But there's some people like, you know, like Aganorsa, where you can buy tobacco and maybe they don't ferment it all the way because they let you take it. Like, do you think it's an advantage as a cigar maker to have kind of an end-to-end, I mean, not just the price, but the control over what it's grown in the field to the fermenting? Or do you feel like it doesn't make that much of a difference? As long as you get good grown tobacco and you can have your hand in fermenting, it doesn't really matter.
Well, I think what you want is, as a cigar maker, you know, somebody in my position that doesn't own a factory, what you want is a factory that has an incredible amount of tobacco so that you can make sure that the tobaccos that you get are the best of the best from that crop. If a factory has a limited amount of tobacco, you find yourself in a situation where you have to maybe compromise on the flavor because they don't have the tobaccos on a year after year after year basis in order to create that blend. So factories that have tons and tons and tons of tobacco kind of give you a safety net and an ability to really dial in a blend and be able to repeat it the next time you want to create, you know, a batch.
Right. What's your thought about people who take shortcuts? I mean, there's shortcuts in life that are good when you're driving and you find that, oh, I can dodge traffic and go this way. That's a good shortcut. But there's people that take bad shortcuts. Like, oh, I want to lose weight, so I'm going to do this crash diet and then actually gain 5 more pounds than I did before. So in tobacco, people can do the same thing. What's your thought about people taking shortcuts, whether it be in fermentation or growing? I mean, what are some of the things that you've seen, and what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I generally deal with the big factories. Okay. Say in Nicaragua, I'm in Aganorsa on a regular basis, Oliva on a regular basis, AJ Fernandez, Lazona, Amilcar, which is Rocky Patel's factory. Yeah. These are factories I'm in on a regular basis. Those factories don't take shortcuts. I would imagine that smaller factories, they, like you were talking about, Skip Martin finishes the fermentation of his tobacco at GK.
At Nicaprosa, right?
Well, does he do it at Nicaprosa?
I thought he did. That's where I went, and I talked to some guy that didn't speak English, and I think I was at Nicaprosa. It might have been GK. Yeah. It was GK, too. Which one's Lancaster Leaf?
GK.
Then that's GK, but we were also at Nicaprosa, too. Yeah. But I didn't know that. Okay.
Which is the Oliva Tobacco Company. But so Skip is buying these bales, these pacas, and he is finishing off the tobacco. There are some factories, they don't do that. They buy the pacas and then they use that tobacco. Well, are they shortcutting? No, not necessarily. It depends on what flavor profile you're going after. Because as we talked about, as you ferment, the tobacco goes from strong and peppers into sweets. Well, if you're after a cigar that's strong and has a lot of pepper, well, you're not going to want to ferment that tobacco some more. You're going to want to use it as it is. So it really is just depends on what you want out of your cigars.
What's the most unique flavor note that you've ever gotten out of a cigar?
Well,
good
recently,
and bad.
Good and bad?
Yeah.
Bad, there's a lot of them. recently, I'd say that Laranja, that orange citrus, that actually comes from GK Jalapa Corojo tobacco that's in that cigar, has a phenomenal orange citrus flavor. Now, for me, that was very unique on the market, something I hadn't tasted before. And frankly, the first thing I did when I tasted that cigar is I told Eric, I want to come to your factory and I want to taste your tobaccos. I want to see where that flavor is coming from. I was very impressed obtaining an orange citrus out of tobacco, that much orange citrus. I'll be honest with you, I won't name names, but there's some cigars that have recently hit the market that just, in my opinion, are not blended well. They're a little bit like Mulligan Stew. There's a lot of flavors going on, but nothing is really, every puff is a different flavor. I don't get that kind of blending. For me, you got to have kind of a, you want the cigar to change flavors, but you want it to all tie together. You don't want each puff to be substantially different from the last puff.
Right, you want it to be balanced, basically.
Yeah, well, and some consistency in the flavor, and there's been cigars recently that have been released that I'm really surprised that they taste the way they taste given the amount of great tobacco that's out there.
In a bad way, they use good tobacco but should taste better.
That's exactly right.
I thought it was impossible to make a bad cigar out of good tobacco. Like if you got prime Titty McTitstein's, Aganorsen, Grade A, whatever, Crow, Criollo, San Andreas, whatever. How can you make a bad cigar?
Oh my gosh. Dude, you need to come down and blend with me. Because let me tell you something.
When I'm about 3 for 3 on my blend, son. 3 for 3. 3 for 3.
Yeah. That's what you call falling in love with your own bad word.
This is true. I'm just messing with you.
Fall in love with yourself. But I tell people that 99% of all cigars taste great wet in the factory. 1% of all cigars taste great after they've dried out. So the vast majority of cigars taste bad that I bring home. I bring home every trip. I bring home about probably 25 to 30 blends, about 450 cigars.
Good Lord.
And almost all of them taste horrible. It's a very, very slow, tedious, you know, time-consuming thing to sit and go through and get a cigar to a great point. You can get a cigar to good pretty fast, but getting a cigar to great is very difficult.
Or it's dumb luck. It's very true. I mean, a wise man once told me, Skip Martin, is blending is a process, not an event. And not a truer word has been spoken. I can't believe I just gave Skip credit for something. That goes against my nature. But so let me ask you this. So actually, Rob, do we have any audience questions? Because I don't want to monopolize. I could just, you know, the reason we're getting along so good is we're from Missouri, and people from Missouri have an instant connection to our hatred for Kansas. Just kidding. But yeah, so Rob, we have any audience questions?
We have a ton, but you can keep going.
I could talk all night. This is not that fun.
I do want to take the opportunity to remind our audience you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. We're here with Kendall Culbertson, and this has been a fun conversation. I haven't been very involved in it, but I'm thoroughly enjoying myself, and I've learned something already.
I've learned.
And actually, Logan, when you really show up,
and I actually engage, and my Adderall's still kicking. I know a little bit about a little something. I know what questions to ask, but most of the time, I'm just, you know, baby's waking up at 3 in the morning and crying her face off. It sucks.
It's horrible.
I'm awake tonight.
That's good. I'll jump in with some of these audience questions here. There were a few that this one's from Stefan Lindblad. Stefan always asks some really good questions. And there's a particular reason why I'm asking this one. It's a topic we haven't gotten into yet. Stefan wants to know, what's more difficult, is running the B&M, creating your own cigar lines, or dealing with the outlaw ladies?
It should have been keeping your hands off the outlaw ladies.
Oh, man, I'm not sure I should answer that question. That might get me in trouble. But let me tell you, the hotter the chick, the harder she is to deal with. And I have some smoking hot chicks. So
crazy factor.
That's about all I need to say there.
So
I don't want to piss them off anymore.
Copy that. Okay, so coming from a guy who's – I've never been to your shop. I'm out in California. And, I mean, I know you guys have some great events. We'll get into those in a minute. What role did the outlaw ladies play? I mean, you sent me some of the calendars. We're going to send some of those out as some of the prizes tonight. But is that kind of their role? Is it just an advertising thing, or are they involved in the store at all? I have no idea.
No, they're really brand ambassadors. The girls come to the stores, they flirt with customers, sign autographs with the customers, sit on their laps, hug them, whatever it takes to make loyal customers.
Whatever it takes. All right. We'll leave that one hanging out there.
What's the longest running outlaw girl in existence? Is it a pretty high turnover, or as you get one in and there's been like, she's been there for like 10 years?
Well, we try not to repeat them. Every year we try to get a new. But there are some girls that are just so good, and when I say good, means they're not a pain in the ass, and the customers absolutely love them. I've got a girl, Chelsea, that's been in the last 4 or 5 calendars. She goes on trips, like, I don't know, you guys might not know this, but I'm the guy behind the Rocky Patel cruise. And
really?
So,
yep. You're on the boat?
No,
I'm the cruise line?
I own the cigar cruise, and Rocky Patel is our title sponsor. So I'm the guy that's behind the scenes that makes the whole cruise happen. And, of course, I'm on the cruise, but I take calendar girls on the cruise. And so those are the kind of girls I take on the cruise, because they really know how to be respectful, at the same time do their job.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a fine line there, I can imagine.
There is a fine line.
A very fine line, yeah. To do that. And that's got to be, that's a difficult job, I can imagine. I mean, no one's hired me to be like the hot brand ambassador for some reason. I don't know why.
I know, but could tell you
why. I mean, I have it on my LinkedIn profile, but I've never been, no one's ever asked me. But I can imagine that's got to be kind of a tough gig. You know, I mean, just being gorgeous all the time, that's got to be tough.
I mean, I get it. It sucks. What's the what can you tell us what's the craziest thing an outlaw girl has ever done without getting yourself in trouble?
Yeah, they got up on the bar and we're doing shots off each other's bellies and we're half naked. I mean, barely dressed.
That's a good time.
Yeah, that doesn't sound crazy at all. It sounds kind of awesome, really.
But like, was it like at a a non-drinking establishment? Because then it'd be kind of awkward.
That's true.
No, it was at the Outlaw, and it's good for some guys, and it's we've got a lot of pastors there, a lot of religious.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So it's a little bit crossing the line.
Speaking of crossing the line, I've got the chat room pulled up here on CigarFederation.com, and Jared, who frequents your shop, he has let it be known that I'm more. He says Rob's more stripper than brand ambassador. So I don't know what that says about me.
I don't think that's a compliment where I come from.
I've got the abs for it though. No, that's not true. No. So we've touched on some of your events. I had no idea that you were the one who put on the cruise. Yeah, I didn't realize.
I had no idea.
So this one is from Jason Myers, also asked some very good questions. Says Outlaw Cigars is well known for having spectacular events for some of the reasons we just talked about. What have been your keys to success for putting on such large-scale events like you do? And are you kind of at the point now where it's like, I have to do this because the precedent's already been set? Or is it really something that like the return on investment for you, time and money-wise, is really worth it?
Well, I tell you, I've never done it for the money. I didn't even go into the cigar business for the money. I went into it because it was a passion, and I loved having a place where guys go to hang out and do guy things. So when it came to doing these events, it was really very simple. I just asked myself the question, what do guys want? Well, we want girls. We want military. We want some hot cars, some motorcycles, maybe a chainsaw carver, maybe a sword guy. Maybe a golf.
Maybe a sword guy.
What's a sword guy?
That's where you throw an apple in the air and the guy chops it in half with a sword.
No.
Martial arts.
Awesome.
Logan, have you been to the shop before?
No.
I feel like we need to make a trip and do a show.
Dude, I'm going to be home for Christmas. I might have to make the 2-hour drive there.
Yeah, I think we'll look at the Cigar Chat budget, see if you can fly me out there. We'll do a live show.
See if that media budget could handle a flight over the holidays. Yeah,
We'll see if it fits into the budget. But anyway, okay, so you left off at sword guys. Go.
Sword fighting guys, yeah.
Yeah, so what we do essentially is we bring all these guy things that guys are looking for together all at one time. I have like a minimum of 8 things going at one time. And so every party is different from the last party because it has a different 8 things that are going on. And essentially, guys just want to sit around and watch, guy stuff go on and just sit back and relax. And some of the things that we've done have brought us a lot of fame is landing helicopters. We would land helicopters on a regular basis, 4 Apaches a year, 2 Chinooks a year, a Black Hawk a year. We've got, like this weekend, we've got Jonathan Drew, and we've got our howitzers there. It's got the Outlaw logo painted on the howitzer. It's all officially been renamed after the Outlaw, and this howitzer travels all over the world in combat. But this weekend, the howitzer will be in our parking lot, and it's just badass to have that kind of stuff around.
Isn't howitzer a cannon?
Yeah.
Like a really big cannon.
I love the way, yeah.
Were you in the military?
Yeah, dude. No, I wasn't. I just think what the boys are doing kick ass.
Dude, that's awesome. So tell us more about this cannon. Are you actually going to shoot it off?
I don't.
Like just dry fire it or something?
If my competitor doesn't shut his mouth, we might just do that.
That would be awesome. You land helicopters. You have a howitzer. You have fruit ninjas.
Yeah.
Like, what else do you do?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have the calendar audition party once a year, which is where all these hot chicks, about 100 girls, show up in bikinis. And what we do, this is a great – I tell my wife, you got to have the man joke. they're in a man's world. We got to play a couple tricks on them. So we tell the girls that the customers are voting to decide who's in the calendar. And so we give all the customers these vote slips, and they're in on the gag because the girls have to go around and flirt with the guys to get their vote. Reality is all that stuff goes in the trash. I pick the girls. And so you got all these girls running around trying to get these votes, and you can imagine what a girl will do for a vote. She's not hot enough to get in the calendar.
This is genius. Hold everything. When does this happen?
Hopefully it's cold outside.
Because this is when we're doing the SigFed trip there. That's whenever that happens. Keep us...
Generally it happens in May.
In May, perfect. Logan, keep May open.
That could be a little chilly.
That's fine. We'll make it work. That sounds like a phenomenal. They keep getting better. The calendar voting day sounds fantastic.
So let me ask you: all of this awesome stuff that you're doing, do you think if you had another shop, and let's just pretend you didn't do all of this, do you think your customer base or the Outlaw brand name would be as big, or do you think all of that is what brings people in? Like, do you bring people in because of this awesome stuff, and then they learn to smoke cigars, or is it just everyone who smokes cigar wants to go to Outlaw? Do you know what I mean? Like, because no one else does that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we did. Now, I have two stores now, but 6 years ago, I had one store. All the parties were at that one store, and when I opened this new store, which is like 8,000 square feet, it's ginormous, I moved the parties to the big store because I didn't have to put up as many tents. We do these parties in order to create cigar smokers. So guys will bring their buddies to come see all this chaos that's going on, and you know, it's free beer, free, you know, food, and so they end up, you know, looking at the hot chicks, drinking and eating, feeling like they better do a buy three get one, and so they do. We track all of this information, and we create about 80 new smokers a month out of the deal.
Wow.
So it's really all about creating new smokers. And if I didn't do the events, I don't know what our business would be, honestly, but it wouldn't be as much as it is.
Now, of those 80, I'm going to jump in before Logan asks this question. Of those 80 new smokers a month, do you track how often those guys come back? How many of them turn into repeat customers?
Yeah, we actually market to those people separately. We'll market, you know, a humidor, a lighter, and a cutter because we know they're new smokers. And we track what percentage we get back, and usually about half come back and purchase something that we've marketed to them. So it confirms that they are a new smoker because, you know, old smokers generally don't buy a humidor. And new smokers, that's one of the first things they have to get. So we specifically try to target what we think that they're going to want and continue to track them. We know about every one of our customers, all their buying habits, including what parties they come to, how many raffle tickets they filled out at every single party. We track every single thing about our customers and new customers.
I feel like you're like a genius that's got long hair that's a rocker, because I think you're one of the only store owners that I've ever heard of that actually has any sort of CRM system in place or even actually does any sort of email marketing that has a store, which I think is awesome. I'm very proud of you because that's what I do kind of for a living, and it's awesome. It's very
Thank you, brother.
It's very cool.
I owned an IT business for 20 years, so it's kind of easy to think like that, because in the IT business, you know, what I tell people is in the IT business, you have to be absolutely phenomenal to be successful, and we were the biggest IT company in Kansas City. I had 100 employees. The cigar business, you know, you don't have to be all that great to make a name for yourself. You just have to be so-so.
This is,
I feel like that was a very directed comment.
No, it's so true, though. It's so true.
Hey, half of the stores in America don't have point of sale. They don't track their inventory. 50% don't track their inventory. Dude, only the China repairman is slower than the cigar industry. I'm sorry to say, but it's true.
It's true. First rule of cigar business, no one is a business person in the cigar business. Very few. It's true. It's so true.
This is definitely – we don't have too many store owners on the show. I'll preface by saying that. But this is definitely a different conversation than what we've had with most brand owners.
That's why it's so freaking awesome.
Yeah, no, it's really this is interesting. This is definitely a different. It's refreshing, really, to hear this kind of stuff. Anyway, I want to hop into another question here. This one's from Jared Grillett, who.
Hey, when you see him at your store for the party, make sure to kick him straight in the balls. He's the one that looks like a homeless dude.
He'll have his sick bed shirt on.
If he does, just straight in the balls. Don't even ask questions. Just right in the balls.
Yeah, anyway. And he asked a ton of questions, so if I didn't get to any of them, he'd be very
upset. Probably be pissed.
He says, I saw recently, and this is a topic I want to talk to you about. I saw recently that you started traveling to other shops and doing blending seminars. Tell us a little bit about those blending seminars, what it is that you do, and how did you get started with that concept?
Well, I'll tell you, I feel like that you really connect with the consumer when you educate the consumer. We do it a lot in our shop, just in general. You know, you can create a much more passionate smoker by educating them, and then they'll go out and spread the word because they're excited about it. So from the perspective of growing the industry, I want to educate people. In terms of me and my ability to sell my cigars, I walk into a cigar store, they're like, who the heck is this guy? We don't know him. I am not buying his stuff. After I get done doing a seminar, usually we sell out. The seminars have gone over extremely well, and I cover, my seminars are extremely deep. We go into, you know, as an example, a San Andreas wrapper wet is 8.4 grams, dry it's 2.2 grams. That's how much moisture it takes in order to stretch that wrapper around a cigar. Whereas a Corojo wrapper is about 2.3 grams wet and 1.9 grams dry, so very little moisture. Well, the reason why that's important is because when you're in a factory smoking a wet cigar, if it's got 6 grams of moisture in it, you're not tasting what that cigar tastes like. That moisture covers everything up. Whereas if you're using a wrapper that takes very little moisture in order to stretch it around the cigar, you're getting closer to the flavor that you would expect after it dries out. Now, another example that a lot of people don't realize is you've got submissive tobaccos and dominant tobaccos. There are flavors on the market. Take San Andreas. If San Andreas is a dominant wrapper, if you put that wrapper on your cigar, 99% of the time it's going to taste one way, thick, chewy, and rich. If you taste all the San Andreas cigars on the market, they're thick, chewy, and rich. The vast majority of them are. So that's what I call the default flavor. Anybody could walk in and blend a cigar with San Andreas that's thick, chewy, and rich because that's the wrapper controlling the flavor of the blend. The great San Andreas cigars are out there are the ones that aren't thick, chewy, and rich, and it takes quite a bit more expertise and skill and specific tobaccos in order to dominate the San Andreas so that it's not totally owning the blend. Spice is one way, using like Hamastron is another dominant tobacco, using that to submit the San Andreas. And so those are the kinds of things that I talk about in the blending seminars, is things that go a little bit deeper. It's a little bit like if you're blending mustard and ketchup together. If you just throw the two together, most of the time it's going to taste like mustard because mustard dominates. So at what point does it taste half and half, mustard and ketchup? You know, it's not 50-50 in terms of the blend. It's going to take quite a bit more ketchup to get to half and half. And let's say that you don't want your thing to taste much like mustard. Well, you're going to have to use something else to dominate the mustard. Ketchup will never really dominate mustard. So you're going to have to use horseradish or hot sauce or something else to dominate the mustard.
Keep going.
I'm learning.
Yeah, just keep going.
All right. Name a San Andreas that you believe that you've smoked, you know, I mean, in your life, that is not a traditional San Andreas.
Padron.
Really?
Padron has owned that, you know, everybody has been changed, my opinion, that Padron has made what I think is probably the best cigar on the market. Their Family Reserve Maduros, I think, are the best on the market. They've been number one forever, you know, in Cigar Aficionado. So you know everybody and their brother's out there trying to figure out how they do it. Well, San Andreas is dominant. So there's maybe 5 cigars on the market that I could name where the San Andreas wrapper has been submitted in the blend. The rest of them all taste the same. just thick and chewy. And for me, Padron is the standard for San Andreas. I think that they've got strength, they've dominated the wrapper, and then they've got a good amount of pepper and richness in the cigar.
I'm going to name two cigars. You tell me if these would make your list. The Illusium Singular 2012. You smoke that cigar?
That comes out of Aganorsa. I hang out with Dion a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And Dion's palate is phenomenal. The guy's palate is phenomenal.
That's a cigar if I could smoke it the rest of the day. Only thing I ever smoked the rest of my life, I'd smoke it. Because that cigar, I smoke like five boxes. And the next one I'd say is the Regis. Did you ever smoke the Regis Damaris?
No, who makes that?
His name's Akil Capizzi. It's done out of Placencia, but he's distributed by Casada or SAG.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Smoke it. I want to hear if you agree.
Well, I would say I've done a lot of blending at Placencia, both Honduras and Nicaragua, and I gotta be honest with you, their tobacco's very sweet, and I'm not a sweet tobacco guy. I don't smoke sweet cigars. I smoke strong, spicy cigars for the most part. Spice isn't my thing necessarily. I'm really after richness, but spice often comes with a bold cigar.
Now, since we're talking about...
Hold on,
Logan. I got a question here.
I'm
jumping in. This one is on topic, and this one's from Tyler Doring. Didn't want to select my question here for some reason. So let's see. He says, since you're a shop owner, you must come across some pretty rare cigars from time to time. So do you have your personal collection at home? And he's curious, what are some of your highest regarded cigars, or something that you kind of treat as just kind of a daily cigar, some things that you always find yourself reaching for?
Well, I smoke a Padron 40th every morning when I wake up. To me, that's my start of the day. I smoke about 7 cigars or so a day on a normal day, and probably 2 to 3 are Padron Family Reserves. The rest I spread around. At least a couple of them are my blends, but I'm also always smoking my test blends because I've always got a lot I got to get done and get smoked, and that's not always the most fun because a lot of times, like I said, most of the cigars taste like crap, and so you smoke an inch of it and say, all right, no good, move on.
I love it. Hold on, I've got another question here from Tyler, and let me see, click on it here. It says you visited several other countries during your education. Do you speak Spanish?
I do speak a little bit of Spanish. I say muy mal, which is very bad. When I went down there, I spoke no Spanish and was cast into this world where nobody spoke English. And I still, my Spanish is really bad. But I can speak all tobacco Spanish, all food Spanish, and all directional Spanish.
Awesome. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Awesome. I love it. Even the simple questions get good answers. All right, Logan, you can go again.
I was going to ask... in your world travels, what do you think, what's the most, I would say, let me add a two-part question. In all of your travels, what do you believe is the most overrated tobacco out there that cigars come out with that you know is in there, whether it be filler, wrapper, doesn't matter, binder, and it's overrated in your humble opinion? And then what is the most underrated tobacco out there that's just absolutely kick A, and no one really makes a cigar with it? Or if they do, it's not like a super popular cigar.
Well, I won't say the one that's overrated because I got too many guys in factories that get mad at me. But I'll tell you the tobacco that I'm most excited about that nobody's currently using that I've been blending with for about a year and a half now, and that's Havana 92 seed. Havana 92. If you read Cigar Aficionado maybe 2 issues ago, there was a big article about Cubans and their seeds, and they went through a 14-year study of which seeds they really think they should be growing, and they chose Havana 92 over Corojo. And so now they're going to grow Criollo 98 and Havana 92 exclusively in Cuba. A.J. Fernandez grew Havana 92 about 3 years ago, and I've been blending with it, like I say, about a year and a half, and that tobacco tastes so good. I'm so excited about working with it. I just wish I could finish a blend with it because I just love it. And I love the blends that I'm doing, but I will literally step over some really great cigars to get to something exceptional. And I you know, I'm taking my time. I'm enjoying it.
Is Havana, is that Habano, or is that actually a different variety, like a Criollo?
It's a different variety. Habano is a generic term for Cuban seed. Havana is more specific to the seed. It's like, you know, it's the name of the seed, kind of like a Corojo or a Criollo.
Got it. Now, let me just ask, if this seed is growing in Cuba, how are people getting it out?
They go over there and scoop them up.
Hey, hook it up. Give me some seeds.
All these Cubans, you know, over there in Nicaragua, they go back and forth. And they go home and they pick up seeds and they bring them back. It's very common.
Okay. See, I don't know, if I did 14 years worth of research, I wouldn't be so quick to give out my seeds. Let me just say that.
Fair enough.
You know?
Fair enough. Let's see, we still got some time, so I'm going to jump into some more of these audience questions here.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead. Then I'll just
what makes Havana 92 so special? I mean, I know that there's different varieties, you know, that are more disease resistant or et cetera, et cetera. What makes Havana 92 so damn special?
Well, yeah. So as you know, when they're evaluating seeds, they're evaluating it for resistance to disease, yield, as well as flavor. For me, I don't care about yield and I don't care about resistance. I might if I can't get it, but those are not two components that I deal with much. What I deal with is flavor. Havana 92 is super silky, it's very dirty, but really a silky kind of a dirt. I'd speak of cigars in terms of whether it's wet or it's dry and kind of what color you taste when you taste how deep dark or how light. Well, this is kind of a light brown, super dusty, dirty. It's not coarse at all. It's super silky, just phenomenal tobacco. The tobacco by itself, when you smoke it, you say to yourself, this is a cigar right here. This is what I want, you know, but that's not a blend.
Are there any cigars that it's used in? Because the name doesn't sound familiar to me.
No, that's what I was saying earlier. I don't believe there's any cigars on the market today where the manufacturer is admitting that they're using Havana 92. I will tell you that I know Aganorsa has now grown some. They grew some sample plots to not only Havana 92, but Havana 64 and some other stuff. But they have told me they're going to grow Havana 92, a full farm of it, this year. And AJ, like I said, grew it a year and a half, 2 years ago, and the tobacco, well, he grew it like 3 years ago, but the tobacco's been ready for use for about the last year, year and a half. And I believe that Havana 92 is something that you're going to constantly hear about. Like today you hear a lot about Criollo and Corojo. You're going to start hearing a ton about Havana 92. For lots of reasons, but primarily because of the flavor. But once Cuba comes out, you know, what's funny is I was using Havana 92 for at least a year before that Cigar Aficionado came out. And once that came out, now everybody's talking about it. Used to be when I walked around and talked to other people in factories, other factories, they didn't even know what Havana 92 was. So even major companies were unaware of this tobacco. Now everybody knows what it is in Nicaragua.
Interesting. So we'll see it on the horizon here. I want to jump back a question here from Alexander Martinez and talk about your blends, the Drifter and the Perdition. The way that he phrases this question, and you can answer this however you want, just kind of differentiate and compare them to someone who's never smoked them before.
Well, I created Perdition as something that was towards what I look for in a cigar. So I wanted something that was assertive, very aggressive, bold, a lot of spice through the nose. I prefer that when I blow smoke through my nose that it doesn't burn my nose, so I like softer spices, but I like a large volume of soft spices. And then I need a complexity in the cigar to not just give you singular tones. So my Perdition has the San Andreas wrapper. And you know, you guys have smoked that cigar. You know it's not thick and chewy. It's nowhere near thick and chewy. And then I used AJ slightly shortened fermentation cycle on some binders, some Jalapa and Esteli binders, Criollo. which gave it more spice. So I used those binders. They're very, very strong tobacco, those binders are. Then I used Pennsylvania Broadleaf to try to bring some darkness into the cigar, some Nicaraguan fillers, and then I used Hamastron in the Seiko position to help dominate that San Andreas wrapper. So that cigar has a lot going on in it. And if you know the taste of those tobaccos individually, which is what I do in my blending seminars, we taste all the individual tobaccos of Perdition, and then I ask the customers that are in the seminar to fire up a Perdition and try to find the flavors that we just smoked. And that's where you really understand the delicacy of the balance between the tobaccos, because when you fire up San Andreas, it just tastes like crap. It is not good tasting. You taste that Hamastron, and it just tastes great, but the Hamastron will dominate your blend, so you have to have other things to balance it out. So Perdition is for somebody that probably smokes on a regular basis. It's not a guy that smokes once a week. He's going to get way too high on that cigar, and he's probably not going to like the peppers that are in it. But I hate it when, you know, most American consumers don't smoke through their nose. It's one of the first things I teach in my seminars is how to smoke through your nose, because that Perdition is an absolute rock star through the nose. On the palate, it's really good, but through the nose, it's phenomenal, and it's because of all those peppers, soft peppers. So for me, I want the more educated smoker smoking that cigar. Otherwise, they're kind of missing, you know, what's going on in it. Drifter was more of an everyman smoke. Drifter was actually a blend that I've had for a long time, and I don't know if you guys know this, but I was the blender for Zycar for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Really? And they're doing the HCs and all that?
Yeah, their Habano Squared is my cigar, and they use the Drifter blend in their Habano Squared. So the Habano Squared and the Drifter are the same cigar. Now, since Zycar sold it to CI, CI changed the blend of the Habano Squared. So today, if you buy that cigar from CI, it's not the same blend.
It's funny because I remember when they first came out, they were really good, and I remember smoking one recently. Someone sent me one, and it tastes like crap. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and so
I mean, let's be honest, they poured it out. I mean, let's just be real.
Well, there's only one way you can sell cigars at those prices. You've got to be doing something to drive down the cost.
Exactly. So let me ask you a question, because I always get a lot of crap about retrohaling. Because I do, but I'm not like a Puff the Magic Dragon over here, like going, I can't do that crap. Why don't you tell us some, and there's not a lot of good videos, because I've looked at some videos, so I'm very self-conscious about it, because the guys give me crap all the time, even though I do. Tell us some tips or tricks first of all, how much do you need to retrohale? Like, is it 10%, is it 30% of the smoke you blow out, and if any tips you have to increase that volume? Because I'm more like maybe a 10% of smoke volume, and I'd like to get it up to 30.
Yeah, I'm just a believer that what I personally do is about every 3 or 4 puffs, I'll let the back quarter of the smoke out my nose. So okay. I'll blow out 3/4 of it through my mouth, and then I'll find a little bit come out my nose. And that's because I want to taste it. When I'm sitting here smoking a cigar, I'm not always paying attention to every single puff. But when I decide I'm going to pay attention is when I blow it through my nose. That's when you're really analyzing or enjoying what it is that you're smoking. For me, how you learn to retrohale is you got to get the smoke far enough down into your throat to get it to redirect through your nose. Only one way to know whether it's going down that far, that's when you pull it in your mouth, hold your mouth shut, and try to blow. If it doesn't come out your nose, it isn't deep enough in your throat. So the next puff, you got to pull a little bit deeper into your throat. Not inhaling, just pull it deeper into your throat and push. And, of course, the first time it comes out your nose, it's going to blow your mind because your eyes are going to water. It's going to burn the heck out of your nose. And you'll taste things you've never tasted before. It's worth it.
I'm just afraid. I maybe do 10%. Like, I just can't. I get it back, and I just can't get, like, I've seen guys that literally can retrohale 100% of smoke out, and I just can't do it.
I don't know if there's any real benefit to that. It's like the guy who's smoking the cigar to get the really long ash. You're not getting anything out of that. You're just doing something extra to
be
different, I guess. But, I mean,
yeah, taste more. I think it's just more of the same.
Yeah, you just want to get some of that retrohale out, and you know, I'm proud of you that we got you up to 10%.
Dude,
it was a struggle, man.
It was a struggle. It's a struggle. Because it's not a natural thing. Because I mean, I'll be honest, like, you know, where I'm from, Clinton, Missouri. I mean, I've chewed and I've smoked cigarettes, and when you smoke cigarettes, retrohaling out of it's easy because you have it down in your lungs. But when you don't have it down your lungs, it's very difficult, I think. It's not a natural thing to do.
Yeah, when we were trying to explain it to you, I don't know how to explain it. I just do it. I can't, yeah. If I try to think and, like, I just, like, I kind of push it up there with my tongue, if that makes any sense, like the back, and just kind of push it, and then it goes out. Like, I don't know how to actually explain it in a way that,
well, as long as it doesn't matter, 30% or 10%, I'll just take my 10% and just retrohale more often.
Just take your 10% and run.
Well, let's do it.
Enjoy it.
All right, so we got what, like 1 minute left?
Yeah, probably.
Give or take?
If that.
All right, so Kendall, we got through a ton of questions here.
Dude, you're freaking awesome, dude.
This was a ton of fun. Thank you so much for hanging out. But let everybody know real quick where they can find you, where they can find your store and everything, all the information, get in touch with you online.
Well, Outlaw Cigars, outlawcigar.com. We got two stores, one in Kansas, one in Missouri. And then Gunslinger Cigars is gunslingercigar.com. And I'm in several stores across the United States growing, you know, as fast as I want to grow. And honestly, I don't want to work too hard, so let's keep it growing slow. But if the cigar store that you love doesn't have them, you want to try them, tell them to bring them in. If they won't bring them in, just order them online at the Outlaw.
Or awesome. You can order them at store.cigarfederation.com. Shameless plug.
There you go, brother.
if they've got access to it, that's awesome. Kendall, really do appreciate it, man. A lot of fun hanging out with you. This is a very informative show. I really enjoyed it. Guys, thanks for tuning in to another Cigar Chat. Really appreciate you guys out there in the armed forces who are listening. Hope you were able to hang out with us for an hour, relax a little bit, smoke a cigar. So we'll be back next week. We've got Emma Victorson on. We're going to talk about
that?
On Tuesday of next
week. Oh, so it's going to conflict with Pipe Dummies. Oh, okay.
Before the holiday. We'll figure it out. Anyway, so we'll be back next week. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you guys on CigarFederation.com.
Peace out. Thank you, brothers.
And we can fucking cuss now. It's awesome.
You got through it with two. I noted on two of them, so John can go in there and delete it.
We got a really good Canadian audio engineer that is a fucking wizard.
And you caught yourself a few times too. I was very proud of you by the end.
It's so ridiculous. Fucking hate it.
Yeah, well, that's the price.
Rules, man.
That's the price of going out to over 3 million listeners.
It's the price of being the biggest cigar show of the world, which still blows my mind to this day.
Yeah.
Nice.
So let's see. We've got some giveaways we're going to do. Logan, I've picked 4 winners.
Okay. Well, hold on. So I've got 20 Perditions. And I got 20 Drifters. So I don't care how we do it.
Well,
I'm
going to
stay up tonight
and
get them all packed up.
I've picked 4, and then we can have everybody email you, and you can pick some randoms. Sure. They won't know they won until it shows up.
I love that. That's my favorite kind of giveaway.
Those are always the fun ones. So the 4 winners that we picked tonight.
And just make sure you email me, Logan at Cigar Federation, Gunslinger Cigar on the subject line with your full name and mailing address. And if you don't do that, even if Rob said you win, you don't win, because I'm not going to go look up your address, even though I've shipped you cigars before. It's the fucking rules.
Yeah, then that's going to apply to at least one of the people who won. So the winners tonight in no particular order, Tyler Doring. I think that's Tyler. I hope that's your last name. Thank you for tuning in.
Is he new?
I don't know. I think so. It's the first time Tyler's asked any questions. Ryan Brown is also a winner, even though we didn't get to his question, but we're going to ask it here in a minute. Alexander Martinez.
You win fucking everything.
When he shows up, he asks really good questions. And when he posts questions, he asks really good questions. And he was the one who actually brought it back so we could talk about the cigars, like the actual blends, which we got through 52 minutes of the show without talking about. And, of course, I had to pick Jared Garrett as a winner.
God, are you fucking shitting me?
He would just kind of flip out. So I figured
fuck
I would
that guy.
Him.
He went to fucking KU. Fuck him. Fuck anyway, that guy.
He's a big fan of the show, so I thought, or of the show and of the store, so I thought I would pick him as well.
Nut kicks.
So and he's gonna get kicked in the nuts next time he goes in. So he's, you know, this will deaden the pain.
I guess that makes it okay.
And however many, and then people can just email you if you want to pick some randoms.
Yeah, I'll just pick four other winners, man. I got 8 5 packs. Spread the fucking wealth, man.
Okay. So if you weren't a winner, just put random or something in the subject line so Logan will know the difference.
I didn't really pay attention to who won. I'll be honest. I heard Jared. That's all I heard, and I got angry. And then don't tell me. Alexander Martinez, Ryan Brown, and then fucking fuckface. And then the first one was some guy I've never heard of. Was his name like Sir Jacopo or something?
That's exactly who it is. How did you remember that?
I couldn't remember. It's the name of a pipe I'm trying to buy right now.
Tyler Doring.
Tyler Durden. Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's what I always think. I think of Fight Club. So Ryan Brown, we picked him as a winner, and we didn't really ask his question, so I'm going to ask it now. And this is in reference to, just about everything you have out there. Who does the artwork for you for your boxes? And I mean, I can see them in the background there, just over your shoulder. Who does the artwork for you?
That's Boris Vallejo. Ever heard of Boris Vallejo?
I haven't.
No, I've heard of his name before. I don't know what he does.
That is the biggest name. He is the most famous still living artist in the sci-fi arena. He works. He does a lot of contract work for Marvel Comics, Tarzan, Conan. This guy is as famous as you can get, and I have collected art since I was a kid. And in the IT business, I made a lot of money, so I would travel to these guys, Michael Whalen and Boris Vallejo. I'd go to their house and buy original artwork from them. And so when I decided to come out with my own cigar, I wanted to do, coming from the IT industry, I thought, you know, nobody puts full color, high resolution on boxes. So first thing I did is I solved that problem. How do you put full color, high resolution on boxes? And you guys, you got some of my sample stuff. The resolution is 5,000 DPI, and I'm printing right on those cigar boxes. Wow. So they come to me blank, and then I print them. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to be printing artwork on there, I should probably call Boris and see if he'll do the artwork. I didn't think he would, but he did. And I'm unbelievably honored to have Boris as my guy. I have sold so many pieces as artwork. The amount of people that have called me and bought prints is incredible because they're Boris fans. So it's been kind of fun.
That's, yeah, probably that's
cool.
Probably
can't see it, it's signed Boris right there. I just noticed that.
Oh, there you go.
Can't really see it.
Woo! You can kind of see it.
Boris.
You need a manicure, bro.
Bro, actually, my shit's like beautiful.
No, if you guys pull up, if you Google Boris Vallejo, as soon as I Googled him, I know who he is because I just didn't know the name, but I knew the artwork.
Well, the other artist I used, cool stuff. I'm getting ready to come out with a new cigar called Shrunken Heads, and the artwork is Michael Whalen. Now, this is the guy that does Stephen King, Lord of the Rings. I mean, he's another very famous artist.
Oh, he popped up right in Google.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's as famous as you can get as well. Boris is more famous than Michael. Michael's probably number two, but Michael is the most decorated artist out there.
So how do you know these people? Just because you've collected their art and they smoke cigars? And I mean, or do you just call up their business manager and say, hey, bro, I need you to do a design for a cigar box for me?
Dude, I've collected their art since I was 16, and I will tell you, my house is covered in their artwork, and it's lots of nudity, lots of, you know, fantasy artwork. And when my wife was my girlfriend, the first time she came to my house, she walked out the door and said, we can't date because I could never bring anybody to this house. This is too evil.
I'm looking at some of his stuff, man. This one right here. What is it? It's called...
How long have you been married?
Doll from 1983.
Twice.
Oh, that is creepy.
You've been married twice? To the same lady?
No. I've been married to this woman now for, I guess, 13 years or so.
Okay. Wow. That would have took beautiful you as single. As much as you travel and as how wild you are. She must be a cool-ass chick.
She's a saint, yeah. She's great.
Maybe we should get your wife and my wife together and she can teach her things on sainthood. Because my wife, yeah, we won't even get there. My wife, whew.
Sorry, I'm totally distracted.
All right, quit nerding out, Star Wars douche.
Like, well, he did the artwork for, some of the artwork for the cover of the Dark Tower novels.
Yeah, Michael Whalen, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize that they're actually coming. Have you read that series? Are you a fan of that? From Stephen King?
Nah. I'm a fan, but I don't read.
I'm an audiobook guy myself.
Are you?
It's easy. You're in the car. I don't have to look at anything. Words get confusing if I try to look at them too long.
Big words.
Yeah. No, I'm totally distracted by this website with this guy's
article. So I got a question, Kendall. Go ahead. So you've been it seems like, for a gringo, you have been very fortunate to have, you know, a lot of factories open their doors and get an education. I almost feel like you might be you're more educated about tobacco than some people that actually are cigar brand owners that are currently on the fucking market. I mean, if you were to tell someone, like, what is the best way to get an education in tobacco like you have? Is it you got to own a store, buy cigars, make relationships? I mean, what is the best way for the common man to get this? And I'm not talking, like, no offense to Cigar Safari, but it's great, but it's not, we're not talking about percents of water in a San Andreas. Like, where can you get that level of education? Why don't you write a fucking book?
You know, it's crazy because factories guard this information. This is not something that they want to just go around teaching people, because they're really factory secrets. And like I said, every factory has their own set of secrets. And so, when you only deal with one factory, you learn things one way and you kind of think that's the way that it is. When you deal with all these different factories, you realize that there are all kinds of different techniques and ways to make things happen. And so I do feel like that I've got a hell of an education just because I didn't go into the factory trying to make a cigar. I went into the factory just trying to teach me everything. And the Outlaw was my vehicle to make that happen. If I didn't have the goodwill of the Outlaw doing a ton of business with them, honestly, they wouldn't let me in there. Like Oliva's factory, I'm the only outsider to ever blend in that factory. AJ's Fernandez's factory, I'm the only person that sits on the factory floor and blends. I don't care who you've talked to and what they say. I'm the only guy that sits on the factory floor.
So you're not AJ's little conference room where everyone else sits?
No, I sit on the factory floor with a roller and call out. You know, I write the blends down and give them to a guy that doesn't speak English, and we barely talk and make things happen. And but
we just make shit happen. That's awesome.
Make shit happen. But you know, what I honestly believe has happened the last few years is I have helped factories out, because I'll go to other factories and I'll bring tobacco. Like right now at Aganorsa, I've been working for about the last 2 years. I've been working on a broadleaf blend. Well, Aganorsa
doesn't use broadleaf.
Yeah, they don't have broadleaf wrapper. Now, what you might not know is I'm the guy that brought San Andreas to Aganorsa. Aganorsa has tons of San Andreas. Dion uses San Andreas. Yeah. Viaje uses San Andreas. But I'm the guy that went and borrowed tobacco, brought it over to Aganorsa, and worked with Arsenio Ramos to build blends around that San Andreas. And then I brought them box pressing. I was the first guy to say, hey, I want a box press. They say, hey, we don't know. And I said, well, let me go to Milka and let's borrow some equipment. Let's get over here and get this box pressing going. So I push factories. When I talked about AJ's spicy binder, one of the big arguments that me and AJ would have that we have had many, many times over many years is he calls spice not clean tobacco. And I would argue with them and say, look, that not clean tobacco is what's selling like crazy in America. I want spice. And so when he did those binders, he did them with me in mind of trying to create a tobacco that I really wanted to work with. And so I pushed tobacco. I pushed factories around. I'd like to find out what they're great at and then try to bring other stuff in and bring it into the mix, because that gives me an opportunity. Like, take Aganorsa and the broadleaf. Nobody has ever blended with broadleaf in all Aganorsa tobacco.
That's true.
And so I am in a position to maybe discover a new flavor, because I'm working with tobaccos that nobody's ever worked with. Even though they're all common tobaccos, they're not all in one place. So that's what I want to do. I don't want to work with the Corojo and the same stuff that they've made, you know, 50 different blends out of. I want to work with new stuff. And so I bring it to them.
It's fucking awesome.
I want to go. Logan, let's just follow on.
I just want to kind of follow you around, man.
Yeah. Let's go.
I'd love to have you down there. That would just be like you'd learn more. I'd come back. I might know something because I don't know anything. I'm just here for my face. I'm telling you.
You just keep the show on track. Schedule the guest.
Made one of my girls for that.
made for radio.
Made for radio.
No, that would be awesome just to kind of just to go down and follow someone around doing the stuff. And really, there's nobody else doing what you're doing as far as I mean the way that you're explaining it.
And speaks English.
And speaks English, yeah, that's helpful. Right. That's definitely helpful. Unless we need to, we can speak tobacco Spanish, food Spanish, and direction Spanish. That's all we need, right?
That's all we need.
And I know baño. I know what that is. And cerveza. I got that.
You got that.
We're good, man. That's awesome. All right, Logan, you got any final questions? We're right up against it here.
No, I could talk for another 45 minutes.
I know you could keep going for a while.
But, I'm, like, geeking out hard.
You are. Well, we'll have to have, Kendall, we've only had you on once. We'll have to have you come back on when...
Let's do a fucking blending seminar in Cigar Federation. We did one with Jose Blanco where we did it, you know, Jose's blending seminar. We did it live. Have you ever done a live version of your blending seminar?
Well, I have.
Like, on the interwebs? Done. No, I'm calling right now that we will be the first one ever, and you got to let me do it, and we're going to talk about this because we're going to make this shit happen. Just for my personal edification. I don't care if anyone else buys a shit, but I will.
Well, I think that there's at least about 50 people in the chat room and who are watching right now who have hung around until the end that will partake in that. That would be awesome. Hopefully we can make something like that happen next year. That would be great.
We can do that.
Kendall, thanks, man. This was a lot of fun hanging out with you. It was a great time.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the opportunity and Smoke Perdition.
Yeah, we're going to get some reviews. I'm going to do a review of either the Perdition or the Drifter and have it go up on Monday.
And I gave Jared some to review, too.
Yeah, so we'll have one go up on Monday and one go up next week.
Don't forget, listen to the music.
I'm telling you. Okay, so Kendall sent me a couple of copies of his CD. I listened to it today. Very, very cool. And what's the name of the last song? That's the one that I really liked, the last song, track number 6.
That's Hangman. Now, this is gunslinger music. Every song is named after a cigar, and it's the story of the Boris Vallejo character that Boris drew. So it's his life story, is what the music is. So
oh, really?
It's,
now I have to listen to
it. I like my cigars strong, bold, and in your face, and I like my music exactly the same.
Yeah, it's very, very cool, man. Somebody is going to get... I've got one of the CDs, and I'll send it out to somebody. I'm not sure which package it'll go in, but... we'll pick one. But yeah, Kendall, a lot of fun hanging out with you, man. I know I learned a lot. Logan was just geeking out, so definitely had a good time. Guys, thanks for tuning in to another Cigar Chat. We appreciate it. Hey, Logan, we're coming up on episode 150.
Are you shitting me?
No, it's like in the middle of next month. This is like 142.
Oh, wow.
John pointed out that we had episode 140 was... the one that he and I did together. What was the show that he and I did together?
I don't know. I've been traveling a lot lately.
This might be like 142 or 143. We're coming up on 150.
Look at us.
That's kind of exciting. But
kind of a big deal.
Yeah, well, that's 150 since we started doing video. And they went on for...
We're more like 175. But
they went on for about a year before that, but nobody can find those anymore.
Those are dead.
For a good reason. Anyway, we'll be back next week with episode 140, whatever, with Emma Victorson. We'll talk about... the Freya. Is that how you say it?
So I just say Swedish Levens. That's Swedish, what we call that cigar.
We'll talk about the Swedish Levens. Awesome. And we'll have some of those to give away as well. So thanks again for tuning in. Thanks to all of our podcast listeners. We know you guys are out there and all over the world. People tuning in Hong Kong.
People are tuning in to
our show. It's unbelievable, but kind of cool. So thanks for your support. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you just before the holiday next week.
Later, motherfuckers.